The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service. And this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the AARP Bulletin. Now, the first article that I'm going to deal with is very long. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you the sidebar articles. I'll give you the introduction so you'll know what we're talking about. And then, as I say, I'll give you the sidebar, and that'll give you a good gist of what's going on in the article, but it's way too long for us to read. It's about fraud, international. Stop thinking in terms of individual bad guys. Scammers today are sophisticated, organized, businesslike, and global. Here's how they operate and how to avoid them. So the first sidebar article is about hotbeds of fraud. India. Because telemarketing and call centers are big industry here, a large number of workers have built up their English skills and learned how to charm and empathize with Americans, says Lois Gresham, who oversees the marketing practices division at the FTC. By day, some may be providing bona fide telemarketing, and by night, they become tech support scammers. In Jamaica, U.S. and Canadian call centers for legitimate businesses provide a base of customer service training, as does the hotel and resort industry. Young people in poverty are drawn to fraud because they see the scammers living in mansions and driving fancy cars. When school children were asked what they want to be when they grow up, the number one answer is Jamaican track star. Usain Bolt, said Julie Getz, executive producer of AARP's The Perfect Scam podcast. Number two, a scammer. Costa Rica. Scam businesses are prevalent in part because it's difficult to extradite Costa Rican citizens. But Jim Widener, a North Carolina lawyer who has defended several people accused of fraud, says Costa Rican operations lure young Jamaicans to work there, but fail to tell them that they aren't protected because they don't have Costa Rican citizenship. Like scamming the scammers. Romanian and Eastern Europe. Specialist and high-tech scams often hail from Eastern Europe. Frauds include ATM scamming, installing a device that scans information from your card while a camera captures your PIN. In 2017, U.S. prosecutors indicated the mostly Romanian members of a crime organization called the Hornia Crew on charges of running a skimming conspiracy in seven states. It's hard to say crimes are trademarked, Detective Mark Solomon says, but it seems these people are recruited and taught. Nigeria. This is home to romance scammers who find victims on dating sites or social media. They even create profiles of themselves using stolen photos of attractive people, a practice called catfishing. The scammers convince victims they have found true love, then ask for money, for plane fare, or for medical bills. In Florida, the Miami and Tampa areas have long been recognized as incubators for the Medicare fraud, said the Miami Herald. One of the biggest recent cases involved a scheme in which a South Florida company called Lotus Health would convince older people that they needed genetic tests for cancer. Medicare would then pay the labs that ordered the tests. The labs, in turn, paid kickbacks to the scammers. As a bonus, the scammers got people's Medicare numbers, which could be sold on the black market. Next, we have anatomy of a robocall. It takes sophistication, investment, and a diversity of skills to run a robocall fraud. Here are the key steps. 1. Buy lead lists. The calling operation can do a Google search to find brokers who sell phone numbers, Some are legitimate in the business of selling lists to legal telemarketers. Some lead brokers are shady operators. Robocalling operations can purchase as many as 1 million phone numbers for a few thousand dollars, says David Frankel, a telecom entrepreneur who founded ZipDX, an audio conferencing company. Two, they have to get a phone provider. Despite the Federal Trade Commission's efforts to crack down on robocalls, dozens of small phone companies happily take the robocaller's money and place the calls into America's phone network. Until recently, the FTC's mentality had been not to go after these little providers, Frankel says, but recently enforcers are getting more aggressive and filing lawsuits against them. Three, run computer software. A computer program can operate in a loop, dialing through the list and attaching a spoofed phone number to each call, making it appear on caller ID as if the call is coming from a number within the recipient's area code. Robocalling software can make as many as a million calls in an hour. From a technological standpoint, all of this is very trivial, Frankel says. It's very easy to get software to do almost all of this. Four, operate a phone bank. Because it's cheap to place robocalls, the fraud operation is able to search for the small number of respondents who will listen to the recording and press 1 for more information. According to some reports, about 3% to 5% of targets respond. When one does bite, the call is patched through to a person in a call center who then makes the pitch to get information or money from the victim. Finally, five, manage the money. Incoming payments from victims must be transferred quickly to other forms of money to make them more difficult to trace. For example, many fraud operations will traffic in gift cards or other types of anonymous currency to shield their activities. After payments are washed and transferred, all the participants can get their share of the take. Now, moving on to common fraud jobs. You have a lead broker. He sells the list of potential victims, their phone numbers, and other personal information to their own network of buyers, whether they are legitimate companies, fraud enterprises, or both. Salesmen. They talk to victims, often after they have answered a robocall. Some organizations employ openers who scam victims first, and loaders who try to increase the amount of money sent. Then there are the managers who run the call center of the large operation. In turn, they take a cut of all revenue. In one case, the ringleader's portion was 20% after lower level workers got their cuts. Mules. Transport money taken from victims to the organization. When they are recruited, some may not know they are working for a criminal enterprise, but the FBI says it is a crime anyway. And hackers, expert computer coders who steal computer information from businesses and online services. They may use the information to commit other crimes or resell it on the dark web. And finally, let's explore how technology fuels a scam. A big reason incidents of fraud are so prevalent is the same reason modern life has become so convenient. The growing sophistication of fraud goes hand in hand with the evolution of technology, said Frank Scafidi, a retired FBI agent who is now the director of public affairs at the National Insurance Crime Bureau. It has made life easier for the bad guys. For example, the internet has made long-distance calling cheaper and easier, paving the way for a seemingly daily tsunami of robocalls. It used to cost a dollar to place a call, says Lois Griesman of the Federal Trade Commission. Now it costs less than a fraction of a penny to blast, blast, blast. Grishman says that the FTC gets about 500,000 complaints a month about unwanted calls, and 70% of those are robocalls. Congress recently passed legislation in an attempt to curb illegal robocalls, but the one consistent problem with stopping it is that the business model for scammers is too good to make the practice go away quickly. Since most people hang up or don't answer, the connection times are brief, and that makes the practices particularly cheap to execute. The Internet also serves as a handy information service for criminals. Rob Schaffel, a cybersecurity expert who co-founded DeleteMe, which helps erase your personal information from data brokers, says that as the cost of technology has plummeted, so has the cost of purchasing personal information. You can buy a profile of someone, complete with the names of their relatives, their past addresses, for as little as 99 cents. He says, scammers will then offer this information to trick you into giving them more information and money. It's really confusing because phone scammers are already so knowledgeable about you that you feel like you're talking to a friend. Criminals also use online collaborative tools, the same ones that allow employees or legitimate companies to work together from various remote locations. When I started Shadow Crew, we understood that by sharing information, everyone makes more money, says former cyber criminal turned security consultant, Brett Johnson. The bad guys have known all along that shared information is a competitive edge. Now let's talk a little bit about smoking. Former smokers read this. I'll read it for you. Chronic lung diseases are on the rise. What to do to minimize your risks? For years, I've been going on long morning walks with my super smart and stylish friend, Susan. But lately, whenever we climb a hill, her breath becomes labored and we need to slow down. Sometimes we stop in our tracks until she regains her energy. This is what I get for smoking 2 packs a day, she laments. Susan quit cigarettes more than 30 years ago, but because of her former habit, at 67, she's now dealing with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, an escalating lung illness that over time makes it harder and harder to breathe. Chronic respiratory diseases are the third leading cause of death in people 65 and older. They take more lives than stroke, diabetes, or even Alzheimer's. And COPD significantly increases one's vulnerability to the new coronavirus COVID-19, affects the parts of the lungs where oxygen and carbon dioxide are exchanged. Older Americans in general need to pay close attention to the evolving advice on the coronavirus from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. If you're a former smoker or have symptoms of COPD, take these warnings extra seriously. Stay up to date at aarp.org/coronavirus. COPD is a blanket term for respiratory diseases characterized by inability to breathe out fully, explains Benjamin J. Sayes, M.D., Director of Interventional Pulmonology at Northwestern Medical Central DuPage Hospital in Winfield, Illinois. COPD takes two main forms. Emphysema, a condition in which the air sacs of your lungs are damaged and eventually destroyed, causing breathlessness. And chronic bronchitis, in which your bronchial tubes become inflamed and produce lots of mucus, leading to coughing and difficulty breathing. What does COPD look like? Symptoms don't often appear until the disease progresses, but they can include the following: lack of energy and or shortness of breath, especially during physical exercise, wheezing, chronic cough and chest tightness, frequent respiratory infections, blue lips or fingernails, coughing up a lot of mucus from the lungs, especially upon waking. Swelling in your feet, ankles, or legs. If you have asthma, you may experience similar symptoms, including wheezing, coughing, shortness of breath. But with asthma, the damage to your lungs can be reversed. Not so with COPD. When you start smoking, you accelerate your lungs' aging process by a significant factor. Once you quit smoking, your lungs return to their normal aging rate, scientists said. But you can't go backward. The damage done during your smoking phase cannot be undone. It's no coincidence, then, that 75% of folks diagnosed with COPD either smoke or used to smoke, not only cigarettes, but also cigars and pipes. There are other risk factors as well. Secondhand smoke. The damage to your lungs of frequently being around other smokers can approach that of actually being a smoker. Exposure to chemical fumes, such as cleaning and certain beauty products, new carpeting, scented candles, room deodorizers, and pesticides. Dusts in the workplace, including flour in bakeries, wood dust, and grains on farms. Vehicles and industrial exhaust. Researchers at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh reported recently that air pollution is on the rise. In 2017 and 2018 combined, worsening air quality was linked to nearly 10,000 additional lung disease deaths. Yikes! How can you protect yourself? If you suspect your breathing may be compromised, start by cutting down on your exposure to environmental irritants. On days with high pollen or smog alerts, stay indoors with your windows closed. Avoid exposure to secondhand smoke. Avoid driving in highly congested areas and have your car's cabin air filter changed at least twice a year. Finally, if you smoke marijuana for a medical condition, consult your doctor about an edible version. Marijuana smoke contains many of the same lung-damaging chemicals as cigarette smoke. What should you do if you have trouble breathing? Talk to your primary care physician first. She may refer you to a lung specialist called a pulmonologist, who will probably give you a simple test called spirometry to find out how well your lungs are working. Your doctor may also order a chest X-ray and an arterial blood gas test, which will show how well your lungs are moving oxygen into and carbon dioxide out of your bloodstream. Are there treatments available? There are several ways we can offer relief to patients who are dealing with COPD, said Javier Barita Garcia, MD, Assistant Professor of Pulmonary and Critical Care of the McGovern Medical School at UT Health in Houston. Various inhalers are available that relax bronchial muscles and decrease inflammation of the bronchial tubes. If you've received a diagnosis of COPD, your doctor will probably also recommend pulmonary rehabilitation, a medically prescribed exercise program to help build up your strength and endurance. Depending on your physical abilities, it will include instructions on breathing techniques, including diaphragmatic and pursed lip breathing, walking on a treadmill, and doing simple exercises, either while standing or sitting in a chair. Only in worst-case scenarios, when your body just isn't getting enough oxygen to function properly, will a doctor set you up with some sort of portable oxygen therapy. In severe cases, a doctor may perform a bronchoscopy. This procedure involves sliding a thin tube and small camera through your nose or mouth and into your lungs and inserting endobronchial valves, EBV, a technique that was recently approved by the FDA. This procedure makes it possible for lungs to empty itself of air. How else can I protect my lungs? In addition to not smoking, avoid air pollutants and get more exercise, the American Lung Association urges you to do these. Get vaccinated every year against the flu and talk to your healthcare provider to find out if the pneumonia vaccine is right for you. Brush your teeth at least twice daily. And see your dentist every 6 months. Good oral hygiene can protect you from the germs in your mouth that can lead to infections. Choose watercress, not lettuce. Watercress releases a compound called something, which helps block the process of lung cancer and helps to ease respiratory inflammation. Sleep slightly upright or on your left side. These positions can help prevent acid reflux, which can exacerbate COPD symptoms. Go cold turkey on hot dogs. Processed meats such as cold cuts, bacon, and hot dogs can worsen COPD symptoms and increase risk of COPD-related hospital readmissions. And take your vitamin D. A 2018 study suggests vitamin D may increase our lungs' muscle strength while lowering inflammatory response to respiratory pathogens. And a sidebar for this, vaping isn't the answer. If you smoke, you might think of vaping as an alternative. Vaping, when compared to smoking cigarettes, is probably safer. But vaping is not as safe as inhaling nothing but clean air. The first long-term study on the effects of vaping supports the view that linking e-cigarettes to an increased length of chronic lung disease. When the research started in 2013, none of the more than 32,000 subjects showed any sign of lung disease. But by 2016, those who vaped had a 30% greater risk of developing chronic lung disease than those who didn't. Now, all of that having been said, how to live longer? Some olive oils fight heart disease and cognitive decline, but to get the greatest benefit, you need to pick the right stuff. In normal times, Italians outlive Americans by an average of 4 years. But in the Sicani Mountains region of Sicily, marked by rolling hills covered with olive trees, the locals live past 100 at a rate of more than four times greater than Italy as a whole. Sicani Mountain villagers eat a Mediterranean diet, snacking on olives and using the fruit's oil to prepare dinner. As a result, their arteries are as supple as those of people 10 years younger, researchers say. We've known for 50 or 60 years that the Mediterranean diet is beneficial for health. But olive oil is emerging as the most important ingredient, said Domenica Paticcio, MD, director of the Alzheimer's Center at Temple University. Among people in olive-growing regions, the incidence of heart disease, cancer, type 2 diabetes, and even cognitive decline are very low. Patico and others have been exploring the effects of extra virgin olive oil, or EVU, on the brain. They've discovered that compounds in the fat of this high-grade oil can flush out proteins that gum up the communication channels between brain cells that might delay and even reverse Alzheimer's and other dementias. One compound that seems to drive this effect is an olive-derived polyphenol called oleocanthal. In animal studies at Auburn University, oleocanthal demonstrated an ability to rinse out amyloids, which form the plaques associated with Alzheimer's. In mice, EVU can flush out TAW, a protein that hinders language skills and memories in humans. Buyer beware. But not all of the EVU sold at supermarkets is as potent as the oil that researchers use to flush out neurotoxins. In lab tests, more than half of imported EVU purchased at retail failed to meet certain standards of quality and flavor, a marker of antioxidant content established by the Madrid-based International Olive Council. In a 2015 analysis from the National Consumer League, 6 in 11 EVUs obtained from reputable stores such as Safeway and Whole Foods failed the extra virgin test. They were either mislabeled or had degraded during shipping and storage. So what does this mean? You need to know a few shopping tricks if you want to get all the protection that EVU offers to the centenarians of the Sicani Mountains. First, they have to pass the virginity test. Look for extra virgin. That distinction means the oil is free of flavor defects. EVU has also the highest concentration of disease-fighting polyphenols, said Pratico. He recommends consuming 2 tablespoons every day for the best effect. Pick a dark bottle. Exposure to light can destroy EVU's polyphenols. Dark glass or tins offer much better protection, says Joseph Profaci, executive director of the North American Olive Oil Association. For further protection, store the oil in a cool, dark place. Check the bottle date. Some olive oils have a shelf life of 6 months. Others last 3 years. To find the freshest oil, look for the best before date, which is usually 18 to 24 months from when the oil was bottled. If the best before date is just a few months away, find a fresher oil. Once you open the bottle and expose the oil to oxygen, it begins to deteriorate. Buy from California. In 2014, California began standardized testing. The impact is significant. In 2017, retail samples of unregulated EVUs were below standard 82% of the time, but regulated EVU failed only 10% of the time. Richard Isaacson, director of Alzheimer's Prevention Clinic at Weill Cornell Medicine, said he can see the difference in his practice. I've had dozens of patients who started taking at least 1 to 2 tablespoons of EVU daily, and it had no effect, he said. So he switched them over to California oil, and after that, their cholesterol improved. So give it a swig. The more potent an olive's flavor, the more powerful its protective effects. If you feel a slight burn in the back of your throat, it means the oil has high levels of oleocanthal. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.